question I would have, Joe, and I was in council meeting for the last time, so I didn't get to the conclusion with you. Was the decision that we can control parking up on any piece of 421 we wish to?
Yes.
Or do we have to be consistent along all of 421?
No, we can piecemeal it however we see fit.
Any way we see fit?
Yes.
So long as we have from the police to act, no, as long as we have the stuff for the police department that the county and that state can act on. Yeah. Tony?
We were discussing in that meeting whether or not to restrict that one area.
Uh-huh.
And you write an ordinance and you restrict the parking down there for the ocean to the people. Then the next group of people up the road say, oh, we would like no parking in front of
us. Yes.
Then we got to write another ordinance and get more signage to put up. So we kind of put it back in your lap to say, what do you want to do?
The state's going to put up the signs.
Yes, they'll put up
however. The state's going to put up the signs.
The state will put up the signs. Our town would have to
enforce it. We have to enforce it. The signs are up.
Yeah. The decision we have to make is that if one group of citizens wants that, and another group of citizens want that control, I'm not sure that you can tell one yes and one no unless there's some type of zoning restriction or some type of good reasoning and thought process is how we're going to handle all of 421. So I am totally sympathetic to the issue down at Ocean Dunes, and I am just as sympathetic to the people along the beach who have a lot of parking when we have overflow at the mini hotels, or the rental properties. I think we need to look at this carefully. We can do what we want to do. What we need to do is something smart. And I don't think that's a decision we can make here right away without some thought about it.
Yeah. With that, if council remembers, when the gentleman came to address council about the problem, it was about the problem that tourists were going and parking in Ocean Dunes property. Not on the road, and they're, you know, urinating, they're losing their shower. That's how this all came about.
That's not exactly true.
No, he's talking about running over the sprinkler heads and everything else.
Right. I understand sprinkler heads, yes.
And again, I don't think it's an Ocean Dunes problem. I think it's a pretty neat problem. Okay, and I don't think you should look at it as an Ocean Dunes problem. It should be a pretty neat problem.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
We have to look at it in its entirety. What are we going to do with 421?
I think what we're requesting for P&Z is that with the information, that if you want us to continue to look at it and come back with recommendations, whether you want to give it to another committee, form a ad hoc committee to look at this. Again, parking is not normally a P&Z type of activity. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's something we're all concerned about, interested in, but it's not really a zoning issue. It's really a parking up and down. And the 421, we would be glad to look at it, you know, hold public hearings if you want us to do that. But I think finding out that we can pretty much do whatever we want to do up and down 421 was kind of a surprise for us. And now it's kind of what do we do at this point?
My particular view on this is the reason that we wanted it to go to P&Z is because we have problems with parking, overflow parking from some of the rental units where you do have the right to set the standards, P&Z, because it's residential parking. We now know what we can do on 421, but I think our parking solution has to be considered, how do you handle the rentals, how do you handle 421, and how do you handle the possible move into the streets behind that if you take any type of action. I think we need a concerted approach to this, and I think maybe if we have P&Z continue to look at it with the support of SLAP, and maybe we even ask the Citizens Council or Citizens
Parking
Group that Charlie gathers, because there's a couple HOA presidents that have come to that, and maybe we can put together a special meeting, not necessarily a P&Z, but get the experts and look at this as an aggregate issue. So we understand the implications of doing one thing and not screwing up something else. My thoughts, Tommy?
It's like,
every time I run through there, it's like dangerous going down that street, Mr. Mayor. It is dangerous.
You want to make the motion, or you want to?
I'm sorry, I had to say this.
You want to get consensus or any of the motions? A motion would be fine.
Okay. I move we have P&amp;Z lead a group of people, including SLAP, including the traffic group, to look at all the implications of traffic relative to the rental traffic, residential rental traffic, 421 traffic, and potential traffic into the neighborhood streets, depending on what is done.
I second it.
It's pretty intense.
Okay. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right.
Could I ask for a quick clarification as a point of order? It sounded like the proposal then, the motion was that P&amp;Z will take the lead on this, and we're going to bring affiliated groups in. From the way I understand the motion is that P&amp;Z ultimately will vote on a particular motion to bring to the council, and that this isn't an ad hoc committee, but it's still being led by P&amp;Z.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I meant, that P&amp;Z would lead that group.
That's fine. I just want clarification.
May I make a request, Craig? That you include, and I'm sure Nancy or John can get the information for you, that you include the HOAs that buffer 421?
Certainly, and I'm guessing it probably would make sense that we do have some sort of a public hearing.
Yes, I think that
absolutely.
This is a public big meeting or whatever.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, this is pretty big. What we do here is going to be important and impact everybody.
Thanks. We appreciate it. Shoreline Access Beach Protection and Parking Committee.
Nothing.
Oh.
Okay.
Have you decided to do anything out here at the corral?
It was due to the fact that it was Christmas. I gave Sonny the prints, and he was supposed to.
You gave him the holiday off.
Due to the fact that Christmas is in the center of town, I figured. And then we're hosting January 1st, so he'll be busy with that.
Okay.
So I'm going to go see Sonny, and maybe after the 1st, you know, start to lay it out and see.
Thanks, Sonny. Administration, Finance, Oceanfront Park, and Recreation Overview.
Good evening. For those that don't know, my name is Nikki Keeley. I'm the Event Marketing Coordinator at Town Hall. And tonight I'm going to present just an overview of kind of what we do as far as recreation goes in the town. And I'm going to roll through this presentation, but if anyone has any questions during it, feel free to chime in. I broke it up into these six categories as far as the major responsibilities that fall into my office. We have the facility rentals, special events, educational and entertainment programs, the recreational classes, marketing all the town events, and then another category, but we'll go through each of these. So the facility rentals, we do have two facilities that we rent out, Oceanfront Park and the Community Center. It's easy to track the Oceanfront Park. We've had two fiscal years experience with renting it out, or one full, and then we're kind of in the current fiscal year at the moment. But our first year renting it, we were able to bring in $4,700 off of private rentals, and then so far this fiscal year, we brought in $950. It can be a little deceiving looking at how much comes in and in the fiscal year, because some of that, sometimes someone will pay for a rental in one fiscal year, but their event is actually in another fiscal year. So I broke it down two different ways. Now you can see there were 10 rentals in that first fiscal year, and then so far this year we've had four private and then one class rental. But as far as where we were last fiscal year to where we are right now, the actual number of rentals is looking to go up from the previous year. That's good news.
Is it the year January to December,
fiscal year
or
is, yeah,
fiscal year, June to July?
Correct. Or July to July.
Okay.
Community Center, we went back a little bit further since, you know, that was rented out before I was here with the town. And it was pretty consistent. You see a big jump in the fiscal year 13-14. And part of that was due to the church group that rented it. That was just over $4,000. But we still managed to increase it quite a bit, and then so far this year, we're doing pretty well with community center rentals. And then looking at actual number of rentals, you know, fiscal year 13, 14, since I've been here, we did 15 rentals and 4 class rentals, and so far this year, we're at 7 that are either have already happened or are on the books, and then 2 classes. Mm-hmm. And then kind of what goes, from our perspective, what goes into each of these events is you have phone and face-to-face meetings and follow-ups, and if it's a wedding or something of that nature, there can be numerous. You may get multiple phone calls a day from one bride, or if it's a class, you know, you may talk to them once. So it really varies depending on what type of rental it is. And then showing them the facility, processing the paperwork before and after, and then the actual day of opening and closing. And as far as what we do going forward with the rentals, I think we really have an opportunity to grow the, especially with weddings, maybe getting into a wedding expo and just letting the facilities be known more to even the local vendors and the potential brides and grooms who may be interested. Also with the local community as a potential area for meetings and classes and things of that nature that they can take advantage of. And creating a better online profile where we maybe a frequently asked questions page or just where people can find that information at their fingertips easier and then take us a little bit further out of the process.
Are you working with our ROT marketing committee at all on the wedding industry?
A little bit. We've shared information, and anytime we've had changes to policies, procedures, or pictures, things like that, we do share that information back and forth. So that they are presenting, even when they do wedding expos or they get questions, they refer people to us. And so we get a lot of brides who would say, well, I heard about you from the CDP or from.
I understand we're planning to do a lot of social media on the Knot, K-N-O-T, mm-hmm. meaning tying the knot.
Right.
I guess you'll be working with them on that to give more awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. The part of it that I work on is not with the committee. I'll provide whatever information, but I'm doing all the free advertising that we can because I don't have a budget in town platform to market it up. So.
Thank you.
As many free outlets as we can. Moving on, the special events, you can see there's a steady decline in that, and you know, looking at those, that's when we used to have the triathlon, and we had quite a bit of filming a few years ago in the area, so once we lost the triathlon, it did take a hit, but the revenue brought in from special events is not really just town revenue, like that's offset by expenses at the same time because the invoice is created, the special event is going to pay is based on town staff that is doing things to make that special event happen.
Most of it's a wash.
Right, they need police officers, or they need firemen, or they need public works, or other town staff. So, like I mentioned, the loss of revenue, the cancellation of the triathlon, and then reduction of filming in the area. We do get a lot of phone calls from people. They'll have a great idea, or they'll even come in and sit and talk to us and say, like, they have a really great idea, but then they may even fill out an application, but then you never hear from them again. So since I've been here, we've only had these 2 special events, a small one on the beach with the Bassett House, and then a half marathon that may turn into an annual event. I'm not sure at the moment.
Nikki, when the town sponsors an event like the Special Olympics, mm-hmm. that's a special event, but that's not really consideration in the expenses or the decline, is it, that you're showing us?
No, that's actually an area that's growing. The next slide.
Oh, okay, right, because I was going to say there's another important aspect of that.
Right, these ones are the ones that, you know, for free, which I put in quotes because nothing really is because there's a lot of town staff time and resources that go into putting these on. But they are with either it's a town event or it's co-sponsored with a different organization. And you know that area is certainly growing. And some of them are annual events. Some we've just done one time. And we're getting the new ones like the Polar Plunge we're hosting for the first time this year.
Are we tied out on these events with the advertising budget, Emily? Do we coordinate between...
They
we get it for free.
They,
all we have to... Sorry.
No, go ahead. Anne would know more than I would.
all we have to do, just like with Curie Beach, is we just get in touch with someone from the marketing committee, and that automatically gets advertised in all of Wilmington, New Hanover, Kearney, and everything else.
Okay, so that goes out.
Yes, it goes out across the state, not so much in Asheville, but Charlotte, the Research Triangle, Virginia, South Carolina, and now Georgia has come on as one of our leaders.
Georgia's a very strong.
Right.
So when you say we get that for free, Ann, isn't that part of the 90 grand we're spending or something, or is that?
I must have fallen asleep during that meeting, because those meetings are very long. I don't really know that answer.
Okay.
I do not know that answer, but we just call the CBB, the Wilmington,
and
let them know we have a special event, and we automatically get on the Twitter, the Facebook, and everything peels down from that.
Okay. Let me explain. When you see a breakdown of the budget, it is not by event, but it is by the type of marketing you're doing, whether it's social, whether it's print, and then they're in constant contact with Nikki, and I think occasionally Nancy, to find out exactly what's going on and when it's going on, so that through that type of media, it can be advertised ahead of time, it can be displayed afterwards, because right now the big New Year's Eve thing is one thing they're working on, and I think they may even have a photographer there so they can show afterwards what happened. I know when we had the big event with the library in June, with the big kicking off reading for the summer with children, was huge, and they advertised that and they displayed that. So the budget you cannot see is broken down by event, but rather by the type of media that the events are displayed in.
You know, the interesting thing might be is what did they do for that? Because that might have been the single largest.
Which one?
The library thing. There were like 700 children that signed up, and they must have each come with at least one parent.
700 people.
Yeah. Oh, 700 people, okay.
Yes.
But still, that's big.
Yes, that was very big.
That was a successful campaign.
Fishing tournaments are really big, and this year's special Olympics will be.
A lot, so that also helps.
Yeah.
Just to kind of come to their defense, they're on our email list, so every time I put together marketing stuff for any of these events, I send it out. It goes to the CBB, and they have gotten a lot better in the almost 2 years that I've been here. Initially, their focus was more those outside target areas and bringing people to Curie Beach, not necessarily posting what would happen or what's going on day to day in Curie Beach, but just the transformation in the last 2 years. They started posting more of the day to day stuff, and that area is.
Thank you, because this is what I really started to want to hear.
Yeah.
Here's all these great events. Mm-hmm. The town sponsors a lot of them. Some people pay for a lot of them, and that the fact that the advertising committee and you are like this, and that we are at least channeling the money into the right type of activities.
And that's the one thing I really need to give Nikki credit for, because I know Nancy did a lot of this in the past, but she had 50 million other jobs to do too. Nikki being our liaison with them has really helped to improve the situation too, because she spends a lot of her time on that.
Great. Sorry, Nikki.
That's okay. Yeah, so you can see, we have a lot of those kinds of events where, we're not necessarily bringing revenue into the town. We're probably creating more expense than anything with these events, but they are good events that bring a lot of people into the community.
We're driving a lot of
revenue for our businesses.
We're driving the economy.
The fishing tournament, Island Day, Marine March, New Year's Eve, Special Olympics, to the Street Festival bring people heads on beds.
Yeah.
That heads on beds gives ROT, ROT goes back.
Pays for lifeguards, everything. I agree.
So with special events, it's really hard to say what goes into each one, because each event is so different. Some may be as easy as like a few meetings or phone calls and then kind of checking in or opening a facility, where others are months of meetings and all hands on deck the day of the event, like an Island Day or something like that. but these are a lot of work on the staff, and I wouldn't say we would necessarily go out seeking to bring a lot more into them, but kind of going forward, just addressing them as they are brought up or different ideas, and working with the ones we already have and that are successful. Moving on to the educational entertainment programming at Oceanfront Park, we have a little bit of a variety of things we do offer down there in the summer season. The first three on the list are budgeted expense items. The next one, the holiday market, or the market and holiday market, are revenue items, and the last are kind of other, where they don't really impact either side of the budget. Looking at the expenses, those three, you have the Boogie in the Park, Storytime by the Sea, and then the Friday-Saturday entertainment. This is not fiscal year anymore, this is calendar year, looking at what we spent like summer of 2013 or summer of 2014. You can see that the Boogie in the Park kind of jumped up quite a bit in between two. The other two stayed relatively the same, but examining them a little more closely, kind of year to year, Boogie in the Park. The first year, this has been a Parks and Rec Advisory Board project from the beginning. They came to us with the idea saying they wanted to start a concert series, and we just supported them in whatever they had come up with so far in that in the last 2 years. And the difference between the 2 years, they increased it by one concert and started providing sound services and got kind of more higher end acts. So that's where you see that increase to the budget. The Friday variety and weekend entertainment, the first summer, and here in Town Hall, we thought that there should be a little bit more to supplement the programs that were going down there, so we took it upon ourselves here in Town Hall to come up with some additional programming. We did 14 events at 6420, and then in between the two seasons, the advisory board asked to kind of take control over all of the scheduling of the entertainment, so we handed it over to them for the next season, and we got 8 events and 7,600 of it. Kind of, they started providing the sound services for that as well, increased the higher end acts, and it was a little bit more adult oriented entertainment than it had been in the previous summer. But, and then Storytime by the Sea was the last of the expense items. They came to us with that idea, and we thought it was a great idea. It has grown into a really popular event, but they've also raised their price twice on us, so you can see the difference between the 2 years, the 20 performances to the 13.
Who are they?
The Storytime, or Fairy Tales and Dreams by the Sea is the
So it's a professional group that charges us for bringing Storytime.
I don't think they're professional.
They come dressed in costume, and they bring 3 or 4 characters, and they read stories and do crafts and games with the kids.
Yeah, they're from here in Curie
Beach. They're a local company, right? So in order to kind of stay similar to where we were in the budget with that, we reduced the number of the performances. And then we move on to the revenue side. The market has brought us in some revenue down at the park. This is, again, by calendar year. We have the holiday market and the summertime market each year. It's deceiving looking at it as full revenue because it's that's the gross revenue. We do work with a marketing manager, and it was her original idea to start the market. She came to us, and if we took that in-house, that would, when those were in season, that would almost be a full-time job to manage that, but we do, over the summer, we did 14 total days, and we kept 20% of the revenue that came in. And then in 2014, we actually were able to bump up the amount of revenue we kept in with the same amount of dates. And it seems to be going very well. The vendors are very happy, and they are successful. So I think that would be something we would continue. And then the other kind of projects are these that we can partner with outside nonprofits or different groups that want to use the facility to provide something that's open to the public. It's not a private event. And these are the best kind of programming, in my opinion, because they don't cost us money. They provide a variety of different programs, so we get to, across the spectrum. And, we provide the venue, they provide the program. It's a great partnership. So moving forward, what goes into each of these, again, it varies depending on the event. Some are very minimal, where others are scheduling, licensing, contracting, invoicing, macro and micro marketing. Like with the summertime programs, your macro marketing is, here's the full summer calendar. Micro is week to week, where we're sending updates out to all the different media outlets of what's specific to that week versus what's the whole grand picture, and then staffing the actual events. So it can be pretty time consuming. And going from here, we're in the process right now of working with the advisory board on the concert schedule, maybe less frequent concerts, scaling that back some over a longer period of time, more into that shoulder season. So getting feedback from our residents, like they really seem to enjoy the, especially the fall concerts. But we have to balance it, because if we do a lot on Fridays and Saturdays, we're cutting into our times where we're offering rentals or can bring in rental revenues. And then also expanding that other category, those partnerships that we can grow. The next is recreational classes. These were kind of all over the board when I first came in. Each category of classes was done a different way. So what we've tried to do is bring some consistency to what we do moving forward. The Parks and Rec Advisory Board classes, they paid the registration fees to the town, and the town would pay the instructor whatever percentage had been worked out, and that ranged between 80 to 100%. And then these are the different classes that were offered through the advisory board since they started doing it. You can see, like with tennis, we've had three different instructors. The first instructor, the town was keeping 0%, but they brought in 17.7, so more. And since we brought the staff in and tried to bring in more consistency, we're trying to at least keep a percentage of that facility use fee and cover all of that. So watercolor has been is the only one at the moment that is still current. We don't have a tennis instructor, and the Zumba and yoga have both left. But the community center classes, they collect the payment and bring it to the town. They both do. Jean doesn't do her class anymore, but Ron still does, and they donate 100% of their revenue back to the town. So that's not really a good model moving forward, because it's hard to find an instructor who would work for free, but they donate their time. And the other category is Aikido, which has been going on for about 15 or 16 years, and this is how we're trying to set it up moving forward. As well, so any new classes are going to fall into this category, where the instructor handles the registration and the fee collection. So if you want to take this class, get a hold of the instructor. And then the instructor pays us a facility use fee as a kind of a rental of the facility. So we're not going to see those that income on that side, but it's instead going into the rental revenue. But with the Aikido, they pay the town $2,400 a year, which has been...
How much does Keto get charged for each event they have over there?
And they pay $200 a month, which it works out to pretty much that instructor rate. They're $15 for the first hour, and then $5 an hour after that for their monthly fee. And that covers, because it costs us, especially in the off-town hall hours, to open and close the facility, and that's at least covering where a lot of these classes the town was losing money doing them, but they're still nice to have to offer. But we have a new one to add just as of this week. There'll be a hula hoop dance class coming up in January. Take your skills down to the concert. So it goes into each of these. We have those phone and face-to-face meetings with the instructors, creating and distributing the marketing materials, and then processing the class payments and instructor fees, which we're trying to get out of business doing that. We're putting that onto the instructor, but then we're just processing their rental fee, and then opening and closing on the day of the event, and expanding the class offerings based on community feedback and previous success and failure. I mean, their classes are a good thing to have. We just have to find instructors who are willing and able to teach them in a student base that will support them. Marketing is a big part of what we do, and like we've already started talking about, I do work closely with the CBG on their kind of big picture marketing. The marketing that we do in-house here is all relatively are free outlets of marketing, so we create all the marketing materials, and then we distribute them in different channels, updating the town's website and bulletin boards, printing many flyers and delivering those, and then the email and online postings, they grow. They do a lot with online event calendars, and we seem to get a lot of good response from all of those. The other responsibilities that fall into the recreation Conservation Office are overseeing the use of facilities at Joey's Park, the assisting town committees, the Bluefish fundraiser down at Oceanfront Park, just overall support of the day-to-day operations here at Town Hall, and then working with the NCRPA organization. So just quickly on those, Joey's Park, it's always been first come, first served, so we don't do a lot over there, but with the disc golf course, we kind of help market their events that they put together and help with the putting out the sponsorship in February, kind of each sponsorship of the holes over there. And then the baseball field is used right now by Pleasure Island Youth Baseball and for their games and practices, but we've had two calls in the last month about conflicting or, you know, other groups wanting to use the field, so kind of in the process of transitioning to a reservation system with that. But
how do you deal with the upkeep of Joey's Park and the Oceanfront Park?
That's Public Works.
Do you work with them at all, or they just do that on their own?
They do mostly on their own, but if something's brought to Town Hall or our attention or we notice, you know, we communicate back and forth.
Okay. Are the disc golf people, the association, still doing the upkeep of the disc golf thing like they said 2 or 3 years ago they would do?
Mm-hmm. I believe they are.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And they hold monthly tournaments and then other like big tournaments.
I keep getting emails on those.
Yeah. And supporting the town committees, I go to 4 different committee meetings and then kind of help them with whatever which that could. But each one has different tasks associated with it, maybe selling t-shirts at Boogie in the Park or helping with the community center barbecue and helping them market anything that they bring to us. The Bluefish fundraiser has been pretty successful so far. We do process the orders here, submit the batches, and then oversee the installation process, which goes down the day of. And some people have specific requests of when they want them, and then notifying customers after installation. And that could consist of sending out the initial email, but if they're not local and they can't get down here, we'll go take pictures of the fish and send them to them so that they can kind of see what their money went to and, you know, a thank you. So far, as it stands right now, the net profit of the Bluefish is $13,809. That kind of is an overview of how the Bluefish fundraiser has done so far. It's brought in $77,487. So far, expenses back to that have been $63,290. We do have $388 in current orders that haven't been installed yet, and we pay for them after they're installed. And so that's where we get that remaining net balance of profit from that. Supporting the day-to-day operations at Town Hall, we help with phone and questions, covering the front desk if we're short-staffed or as it's needed, assisting with water bills when we are short-staffed or if it's just a busy time of year, and then any other duties that are assigned, which open with the employee appreciation luncheon or any of the outreach programs that have been brought here recently.
And coordinating laser tag on my team.
Yeah, that was part of the employee appreciation luncheon. Unfortunately, they're not victorious. Then representing the town with the NCRPA, which is the statewide Parks and Rec conference. There's an organization, there's an annual conference. The conference was just in Wilmington this past year, so that was at least once a month meetings, and being in charge of a subcommittee that oversaw all the volunteers, which is always a fun category to get in charge. And then just serving on committees and everything within that organization as needed. In summary, you can see Recreation and Curie Beach is growing. The daily functions vary, and it's continuously expanding. We have a lot of potential for growth in areas with a minimum impact on the budget, and we can do a number of different programs, but not just categories of programs, but also programs that better utilize all 3 of the park facilities that we have. So Joey's Park, Community Center, and Oceanfront Park. Those collaborative programs with outside organizations can definitely grow. And I'd love to work on a partnership with a local university to do kind of a comprehensive needs assessment. Like, what do the citizens of Curie Beach want? And kind of collecting that input so that we're better providing what the people of Curie Beach want. Then we have potential for growth in areas on revenue. So the sources of revenue are the Bluefish, private events, rentals, markets, and then TDA reimbursement, which there's no guarantee of funds, but they have reimbursed us for some of those programs in the past. Continuing the ones that have so far been successful, the Bluefish and the markets, trying to increase those private rentals, and then just looking at other opportunities of implementing sponsorship for the concert series or other fundraising opportunities. So,
have you considered grant writing?
That could have been, that should have been on the list as well.
Okay.
Looking at possible grants that are out there and seeing, you know, how we can get those brought in.
Okay.
And but we can't really sustain continued growth in the programs and services without also growing the staff and space to implement and manage those. So I know that's what Nancy brought up in back in October, and that's what brought all of this about. So just, I guess it's up to the town or the council if we're ready to make a commitment to that, or at least it's on the radar for the future if we're not really there yet. But recreation is here and it's growing. Thanks for listening.
Wow.
You forgot one important thing.
Oh, wait.
Yes. How important you are to follow those bus trips.
Oh, that's right. That was in the committee.
Yeah, well, you do all the phoning and everything in the town hall. So, have you thought about getting a UNC intern this summer?
Or at least you or any local university that could send us
something else. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks. Now I'm trying to
remember. Great job, by the way. Yes. And she's always smiling.
Yes.
Recreation budget projections. Oh, sorry about that. No,
we didn't. Nope. There.
That's what I was going to
say. That's him.
What I want to do, Nikki went through all the specifics, and I don't want to repeat things. I mean, a lot of it would be because she covered things so thoroughly. But I just wanted to give a brief summary of overall Parks and Rec expenses and revenue and how that fits into the overall general fund budget. I think that was kind of the next question that the council had.
Oops.
Hey. That was fast, Harlan.
Yeah, could we go back to page 3?
Okay. So this first slide is really just operating expenses for parks and recreation, and you can see how it has grown, especially starting in fiscal year 13 when the Oceanfront Park opened. The early years, the 11 and 12, I mean, it was really just comprised of the activity expenses and instructor fees. Activity expenses primarily were the expenses related to bus trips. And I'll comment on revenue just a little bit later, but I'll also say that, and that because Nikki pointed out, the net revenue that's retained out of this for any other type of programs for in 2011 and 2012 was negligible, because almost 100% of the revenue that was brought in went out to pay the expenses. So starting in 2013, we kind of changed the type of revenue that was coming into the town, which also then changed the type of expenses that we had. Part-time personnel in 2013, so we see some personnel costs. And then also the programming at the Oceanfront Park. And also the cost of Bluefish, the installation and actual cost of the fish added to the expenses also. So you see that steady increase with, then in 2014, bringing Nikki on full-time, increased the personnel costs in addition to that, having a part-time person. And then the projection of the budget for fiscal year 15, the year we're currently in, is pretty much comparable to what last year's actual expenses were. So again, the personnel costs being about 50%, which is actually below in one of the department of the general fund, is usually runs about 60% of a operating budget. And this just kind of indicates what percentage of the general fund budget Parks and Rec expenses are. And again, you see that significant jump in 2013 with the opening of the Oceanfront Park. I thought I'd just throw a little bit in about capital expenditures, excluding the actual Oceanfront Park. These are just other items that have been purchased. Back in 2011, there was the resurfacing the basketball court, developing the disc golf course, and then also completely renovating the tennis courts. And all of those things combined were just about $111,000. All of that was paid for money from New Hanover County, their park bond issuance. And then since that point on, there have been a couple of other things that have been paid out of the general fund. Renovation of the baseball field back in 2013 for the Little League coming here to play some of their games. And then also there was a purchase of a golf cart to use for use with the park and other Parks and Rec activities in 2014. That brings me on to the revenue side of it. And you see the pretty much everything in the first 2 years related to the bus trips and Parks and Rec classes. And the bulk of the Parks and Rec classes were the tennis classes. And I think as Nikki had indicated, 100% of the revenue that was brought in was paid out as instructor fees, so there was nothing retained by the town. Beginning in fiscal year 13, we see that big jump in revenue. The bulk of it being the fundraising, the bluefish, the swings, the benches, that first year. Also adding the market that year significantly increased the revenues in 2013. In 2014, the bluefish revenue came down because the bulk of the benches and swings had been sold the prior year, so it was really just the sale of bluefish and maybe a bench or so. But it's still, you know, a significant amount of revenue, just as you see the big increase in market fees. In addition to adding a couple other things, the Oceanfront Park rentals come in fiscal year 14 at $4,700 that Ms. Bieger talked about. And then there was also some sales of T-shirts, which have had varying levels of success. It might look like a fair amount of revenue that came in, but the other side of it is how much we paid out. Probably at this point, we are, you know, haven't made money on T-shirt sales to date. So I guess overall, the Parks and Rec revenue for the general fund, it's been running at least for the last 2 years, and I'll say that because when the Oceanfront Park came online, about 1.5% on average of the general fund revenue. So I guess what does all this mean? It's hard to project how much can the town spend on Parks and Rec activities without putting it in with, you know, knowing what all the other departments are planning on doing and what changes there could be in revenue. But what I see, I guess, is with the change in revenue, as Nikki has explained, with things that are actually netting money to the town, that's a great trend right now with that, what we net to pay for additional expenses, whether it be the increase in personnel costs or programs, whatever it may be, but as those types of revenue generators come on board, we're going to, you know, have additional funds to contribute to Parks and Rec expenses. And then in regard to
Arlen, can I ask you a question too before you come to a summary? And that is, when I looked at the first page, I think the most significant growth is really in taxes and real estate. I think as I looked at salary, taxes, benefits, sorry.
Well, when I say taxes, that's all personnel costs.
That's personnel costs.
Yeah,
okay,
salaries, the taxes is employment taxes.
Okay.
That the town pays.
So then most of that growth has been in the personnel we have put in to manage these new activities.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Which prior to, you know, fiscal year 13, there was no personnel at all. Anything
right.
That was done was through the Parks and Rec Advisory Board, and Nikki came on part-time, and Bob, I guess, part-time in January of 2013.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I don't know if there's an easy way to do this, Arlen, or if there's, salary expenses up, ROT, revenue up, income up. I mean, to get maybe a general sense, and I'm not telling you how to, but I'm trying to say that I think there's an overall benefit to the park. Even though it's costing us money, I think there's a tremendous benefit to what it generates in the community, to what it generates to heads on beds and all that other stuff that they're talking about.
Well, I agree, and I think with Nikki on board and kind of changing the direction of Parks and Rec and all these different types of programs, I think what you're actually doing is, as I said, you're bringing net revenue to the town that can be used for other things. Where in the past, Parks and Rec activities generated no revenue or loss funds for the town. So
yeah.
So I think, you know, that's a good change, and, you know, that's coming about because we had